Thank you. Well, let's pray as we come to this passage together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for those who have brought the gospel message to this nation and for those who brought the message to our homes. And we thank you for opening our eyes to see Jesus as our Saviour and for bringing us into your family and into this church here. And Lord, we pray that as we look at your word this morning, you will speak to our hearts and encourage us as we think about our brothers and sisters around the world gathering today as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for having me today. As I mentioned, you were going to get Matt King, so it's a pleasant surprise for me to be here. It's always nice to visit different churches around the diocese, which is a pleasure in my role. And as I said, I'm really thankful for the support that has come to Anglican Aid through the years from this church. Many of you will, I think, have known my predecessor, David Mansfield, who was CEO of Anglican Aid before me. But this morning, I want to talk about is how does God want the local church to relate to the global church? How do we as Christians here think about our relationship with Christians around the world? This last week, our Archbishop Kanishka and our Bishop for International Relations, Malcolm Richards, have been in Cairo at the Global South Fellowship of Anglican Churches meeting, where Christian leaders from around the sort of Anglican world, particularly from Global South countries, are trying to work out how to better work together as a network across the world, particularly to fight against false teaching that is coming out of the Anglican Church, sadly in England and America, and also to move forward in mission and evangelizing the world. And so, and then many of the leaders and the Anglican churches that are present and represented at that conference in Cairo are actually supported by Anglican Aid. So we have these relationships. Our churches just aren't individual, isolated churches. We are connected around the world. But what does the Bible say should our responsibilities be beyond ourselves here? And so we go to Romans 15, because in Romans 15, the Apostle Paul reminds the church in Rome, firstly, their role is to glorify God. He reminds them of that. And then he gives what I've called three globally minded directions of how to glorify God, what that is going to look like to glorify God. And so we come to Romans 15. Of course, it's after 14 other chapters of where the writer has explained the gospel. He's explained that he is not ashamed of this gospel because it's the power of salvation for all who believe. Why do we need this salvation? Well, chapters 2 and 3 of Romans, because all are dead in sins, all have turned away, we all are under God's wrath. But then just at the right time, what does God do? He sends a Savior, he sends his Son, who is a sacrifice for sin. And while we were still powerless, Christ died for us, for the ungodly. Christ was raised, and through faith in him, we too are raised to eternal life, so we live as his redeemed people. And so we get to chapter 15. What are we to do as his redeemed people? What is the church to do? If we were to look back at chapter 15, verse 5, he writes there, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." What is the church to do? They are to glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could say that that is actually the goal of church, to glorify God. And he says, in fact, in verse 9, that the reason that Jesus served was so that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So the goal of church is to glorify God, that people of every nation might glorify God. And then then he gives three practical examples of what it means for the local church to glorify God. So the first is to glorify God, give to the global advance of the gospel. To glorify God, give to the global advance of the gospel. He says in verse 16, God gave me the duty to proclaim the gospel of God to the Gentiles. And in verse 24, he tells them specifically he plans to preach in Spain. And in verse 24, he says he's writing to the church in Rome. Well, he's writing to the church in Rome, and he says in verse 24, I plan to visit you when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there. Now, when he's asking the Roman Christians to assist him, what sort of assistance is he meaning? Well, he's meaning financial support, isn't he? He's saying, Roman church, to be part of God's mission, to glorify God, assist me to take the gospel to Spain. Back me and let's see what God does to bring the Gentiles to glorify God as well. And one of the things that I love about Anglican Aid is that we are helping Christians in Sydney to give to the global advance of the gospel. And it's an example of glorifying God. I was this week engaged with a discussion about Sudan and the Nuba Mountains. So if you know Sudan, at the moment there's pretty much a civil war happening in Khartoum around the capital, and Sudan is largely an Arab people group. But in the south of Sudan, there's an enclave of Christians, African Christians, in the Nuba Mountains region. Now, sending missionaries, it's one of the most difficult and dangerous places to get to in the world. And so it would be almost impossible to send missionaries there. I've been there, it's really hard to get in, but there's no phone signal, there's no electricity, there's precious little water, it's outside of any government control, it's dangerous. But the church is there, the Anglican church is there, and is just flourishing. And so what have we been able to do? We were able to help them rebuild their Bible college. We've been able to send support to get some of the lecturers trained at Alexandria School of Theology in Egypt. We were able to send some money so that they could buy motorbikes for their evangelists who go out to the different villages and preach the gospel. And we were able to supply solar-powered audio Bibles called Mega Voice units. It's like a thing like the size of a mobile phone that is solar powered, and it has a loudspeaker in it, and it plays the Bible message. And these things have been just lapped up everywhere that the Christians go now. They're asked, do you have one of those Bible audio Bibles? And people are taking them away and listening to them and becoming Christians. And a lot of Muslims as well, because the Muslims are fleeing from the conflict in the north, coming into the Nuba Mountains region. They say, we're sick of Islam, it just continues to provoke conflicts. Can you tell us about Christianity? And they'll be handed one of these Mega Voice audio players. Here, go and listen to this. And last year, the bishop there baptized and confirmed around 2,000 Christians. The year before it was about new Christians. The year before it was about the same. So this is the Nuba Mountains area. Huge needs, but the church is flourishing, and the gospel is going forward there with support from where? The other side of the world, from Sydney, through Anglican Aid. So to glorify God, give to the global advance of the gospel. That is happening. The second globally minded direction for the local church from Romans 15 is to glorify God, give to relieve the poor, especially the Christian poor. Now, in Australia, it's easy not to think too much about the poor because we have an amazing social security system, and we don't know life-threatening poverty, like Anglican Aid deals with in places like Ethiopia and Madagascar and Sudan, where people starve to death. So it's easy in Australia to think it's not money that people need, it's the gospel. And of course people need the gospel. People are dead in their sins, they need to hear the good news about a saviour and about eternal life. But what about where people are really in dire need? And what is our role towards them? Well, if you look down at verse 25 here, Romans 15, 25, what does this great missionary Paul say? He's just said that he wants to go to Spain to preach the gospel, but in verse 25 he says, "Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For the churches of Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem." Now, Paul is writing from Corinth in Greece. He's talking about going to Rome in Italy and then on to Spain to preach the gospel. But then he says, but now I'm going to go to where? Jerusalem. It's completely the opposite direction. It's on another continent to where he wants to go. But he interrupts his mission trip to Spain because of the greater need to carry aid to the Christians who are suffering in Jerusalem. And he switches from international missionary to international aid mission. And we notice that he's not taking a collection for the poor in general, but he's taking a poor collection particularly for the Christian poor, for his brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And he even collects from multiple churches across Macedonia and Achaia and Corinth. He says in 2 Corinthians 8 that he points out that the churches in Macedonia and Achaia were poor. They themselves had nothing to give, but they gave over and above their means for the privilege of being able to supply some support to the poor Christians, their brothers and sisters down in Jerusalem and Judea. And so Paul organized this amazing international, interracial collection. And that's sort of the model for what we're doing at Anglican Aid. Paul reported in 2 Corinthians 9, "This giving is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." So the people were desperate. Other Christians gave to help them, and God was glorified. In 2020, there was a terrible famine in Madagascar being one of the probably bottom five poorest countries in the world. And in the south of Madagascar, it's like completely forgotten by the government or anything. It's just out of sight, out of mind, one of the poorest places in the world. Terrible famine there. I visited and when I visited, I met the families of many people who had died of starvation. Who had had people in their family die of starvation. And Anglican Aid sent help from Christians in Australia, which literally saved lives. The aid was given through the Anglican Church there in Madagascar. And many asked, who is this Christ that his followers in Australia would give to us here? They were asking, how is it possible that people on the other side of the world, whom we don't know and don't know us, are giving to us? And they were told, well, it's because Jesus loves us, and they know that, and this is why we're giving this food aid to you. And they were saying, the government here doesn't even care for us, but you Christians are caring for us. Who is this Christ? They didn't know, and people were saying, tell us about Jesus. We want to know about him too. And when I visited, there were villagers who were calling out. I was driving around with the bishop to visit different places down there. And we went to a few villages where the people called out to the bishop, Bishop, we want a church in this village. Can you come and start a church here? We want to know about Jesus. It was crazy. And this was as a result of the food aid distributed by the local church with support from Christians like yourselves in Sydney. So I've got a little video that kind of summarises this. So we'll watch a 3-minute video on this as well.
My name is Reverend Delphine Thessalonian. On this parish, we have a problem of water.
The water is very big challenge. You know these places, there is no water. There is milk there, but there is no water. That's why we ask from outside to help us.
I'm here in Amboasari in the south of Madagascar, where the local people have asked Anglican Aid to help them build a well or a borehole for their water needs. This is one of several places across this region where the Diocese of Toliara is partnering with Anglican Aid to build wells for the people.
Can you imagine in a place called Fenorev, in a very rural area of the Diocese of Toliara, before the people got their water in a river, but because of that water, 3 kids died. And now they have clean water in their village.
We have benefited from having this water. It is not like before. We had to go very far to get water, but now the water is near, and we are blessed. So we thank God for having given us water near us here.
Through Anglican Aid, we, our people, could understand love at a deeper level, because we don't know each other, they don't know the people in Australia, but Anglican Aid, through the people, helped us. And they've realized, wow, that is love.
Because of the love we showed through food distributions, clean water, and other social works, the church is growing. So we now have many churches that have been planted in different areas. So it's a good holistic approach as we do clean water, share foods to show them the love of Christ. And also we can explain to them who is Christ, what is the love of Christ.
Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, that someone come to you and ask you to come to their village to evangelize them? That's the reality here. So that growth of thrust in Jesus Christ, it's a joy, it's a deep joy.
Capture some of that joy of what God is doing through your giving and the giving of many churches. And of course the need is massive, and we keep getting requests for help. But as we put together, you know, a few dollars here and a few dollars there, it all adds up, and we're able to do something quite significant. So this is, I think, an example of what the Apostle Paul is showing when he encourages the church in Rome to glorify God by giving to the global advance of the gospel and giving to support the poor, particularly the Christian poor. This is what is happening throughout the ages and what we are seeing even today through Anglican Aid and through Christians here. So first globally minded direction to glorify God, give to the financial give financially to the advance of the gospel. Secondly, give to relieve the poor. And then Paul gives a third globally minded direction for the local church, which is in verse 30, and it is give yourselves to prayer. Verse 30, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept from the unbelievers in Judea and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there. So Paul may be in another country to those to whom he is writing, and he may be journeying to another continent, but he urges those in the church in Rome to pray for him that his service may be acceptable. And it's just mind-boggling, isn't it, that we can pray here in Helensburg for something in Portugal or Spain. Wonderful to come, by the way, and hear the prayers for mission around the world. Thank you for those prayers. Great to hear a church that isn't just thinking locally, but about what God is doing around the world. But isn't it amazing that we can pray here and our prayers can have an impact in Germany, in Portugal, in Madagascar, because our God is the God of the whole earth. And he invites us to come to him, and the Apostle Paul encourages us to pray. Elsewhere he says, 2 Corinthians 1:11, you must also help us by prayer and pray for us that God may open a door for the word. And so he's fully expecting that the prayers of those in Rome will affect the outcome of his ministry in Jerusalem, half a world away. He says, give yourselves to prayer. Part of the work of Anglican Aid isn't just raising up financial resources, but also raising up prayer. And there are some who may not be able to give dollars, but they can give themselves to prayer. And so each year we publish a prayer diary. I've got them up the back, which has a project each day to pray for through the month, 30 projects or 31, whatever it is. And then we also, if you are someone who uses PrayerMate, the PrayerMate app, we have a PrayerMate feed with a daily prayer point that comes through. Sometimes it'll just be a summary of a story or things to pray for. Other times it will be a set prayer that you can use. And so you might like to sign up for those prayer points or take a prayer diary. But we are wanting to encourage people to pray. And one of the things that we also have is, and just come up on the screen, we put out these cards. I thought I had some this morning, but I don't have them. They are a set of cards. This is especially for those who have children or grandchildren. A set of colourful cards, and on one side they have a picture of one of our projects, and on the other side a simple-to-understand prayer for children that can pray about, say, water projects or about feeding the hungry. Children can easily read these prayers and understand them, and we've had amazing feedback about these sets of cards for people using them in scripture classes, for people using them with their grandchildren, and my children love them. They help give children a voice to pray for things around the world. If you want a set, sign up and we'll send you out a set of these cards. So they're things to help us pray. Because as we've seen from Romans 15, and I'll sum up Romans 15, three globally minded directions for the local church. Don't just think local, but think about to glorify God, give to the global advance of the gospel, which I know you are doing, give to support the poor, especially the Christian poor, and Anglican Aid can help you with that, and give yourselves to prayer. Who to give to? Do think about the priorities of the organisations that you give to. I'm conscious that there'll be people, there are likely going to be people here who give to an organization like Save the Children Fund. They do great work, but they aren't sending the support through Christians. And it does make a difference when the support goes through local Christian people like we saw in the video. And as I explained before, Anglican Aid is particularly concentrating on those of greatest need. The countries where often there is no one else helping. I spoke to the bishop of a bishop in Mozambique recently, and he said, "Thank you so much for your support, because no one thinks about Mozambique. No one helps." We've had an appeal recently to help victims of persecution there. There's an ISIS group in the north of Mozambique that has been slaughtering hundreds of Christians and burning down their villages. Now, this doesn't get in the news because no one cares about Mozambique. But we do. And as Christians, we do. So we've been able to send food aid, seeds and farming equipment, and again, Mega Voice Bibles for people to be comforted in their distress, for those who have fled terrible acts, you know, atrocities. And they've been enfolded by the Anglican Church in Mozambique, supported by Christians in Australia. So, thank you for having me. Let me finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a great God and that you do care for the widow and the orphan and the foreigner and those in distress, that you do care for the poor, and that you do use those of means to care for others. We thank you for the model that we have seen from the Apostle Paul today, encouraging churches to give to the global advance of the gospel, to give to supporting the poor, and to give themselves to prayer. And Lord, I pray that this church here in Helensburg will continue to be renowned for those things, and that you may move everyone in this building to do what they can to be able to support your work around the world. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.